Hi everyone, my name is Yarrow and you're listening to the Creative Rituals podcast. I'm recording on a quiet Sunday afternoon in late November and I want to talk about making a spiritual home for winter in this episode. It's part of my Getting Ready for Winter series and yeah, I'm doing it on request. I'm really enjoying it so far. I have a few more topics planned and I would love to hear what you think or what you would like to request. A few updates from me before I dive in. Like I said, I'm having a quiet weekend. Yesterday on the Embodied Business podcast, I talked about reviewing the year and how I'm doing that myself and what it means to me. So if you're having a livelihood practice, check that out. It might be a nice compliment to this episode. What else can I tell you? I am painting my hallway right now as you speak. I'm kind of half covered in paint. This is something I've been wanting to do for over a year. And I'll tell you, it will make sense why I'm telling you this when I talk more about slowness in this episode. But yeah, I really treasure my home so much. It is such a blessing to be a guardian to such an old house. And it really requires maintenance in some ways. And I love DIY in theory, but I'm not very experienced at it and I don't have a lot of patience or attention to detail. So I'm really bumping kind of against what I would like it to be and look like and what I can actually do right now. But I have taped everything off. I sanded it down a little bit and then I painted it over and it's coming together. It's definitely better than it looked yesterday. So that is a win. But I think I wish physically I had the time and energy to really sand all the old paint down and start completely from scratch. I think that would be really beautiful. Otherwise, I'm decluttering a bit. I am thinking about the holiday season. I'm getting ready to travel home to Germany next week. And yeah, I'm trying to be what it is in the world and do the best I can, I guess. An update also on the well. I've mentioned in the last episode that I was planning a group program to start in January. I was really quite excited about it. My plan was to offer kind of like a framework for spiritual and creative replenishment, specifically for people who have limited time and energy. But I'm still waiting on a surgery date at the moment, and I'm expecting that to be either very late December or January or February. And with the uncertainty of when actually that will be, I just think it's not the right time for me to commit to a group program. I remember after my first and second surgery on my leg after an accident I had in 2020, I did teach the whole time, and it was joyous and I really wanted to stick to my commitment, but it was also really hard sometimes to teach from bed. And I look at the recordings from those classes now and just, you know, try to have gentleness with myself and how I was showing up, and just want to give myself more spaciousness this time. So the well is not happening live, at least. I am considering recording a small class or a program, and I will let you know about that as soon as I've decided. But for now, if you want to stay in touch, you can join my Substack. I'll link to that in the show notes. I'm really enjoying writing over there. I'm also reading my newsletters out now, and this is where I will announce anything that comes up, as well as new episodes. All right, so making a spiritual home for winter. I talked a little bit about kind of creative practice and ritual and how I'm going into this time. And so today I just want to share about how spirituality is part of that and how I'm making space for it in this season. The first thing I've kind of asked myself is what question I'm taking into the dark time of the year. I like to think of the story of Inanya and how there's a sense of descent into winter time and darkness. We're moving towards the winter solstice now. And yeah, for me at the moment in Scotland, it's getting really dark at 4 p.m. and it's not getting really light until like 8:30 or 9 a.m. in the morning, I think. Although I'm not totally sure because I'm only half awake at that time. But anyway, so there's a lot of darkness, there's a lot of candlelighting, and it's only growing longer, or the days are growing shorter rather. So I kind of want to be guided by a question that I'm taking with me into this time because it makes it feel more meaningful and more joyous. And that is really what I need when the light that I usually have isn't, you know, the primary source of joy and energy the way that it is in the summer. And the question I want to take with me this year is, what is the value of my slowness? And I'm revisiting that question because as it got colder, my leg got worse again. I have less mobility, more chronic pain at the moment. And in the last few weeks, I've had moments of sadness where I was kind of bumping into the limits of my physical capabilities and kind of, you know, contrasting that against what I actually wanted to do, which was, for example, protesting every Saturday or seeing friends in the city. And I think, yeah, there is real sadness in that. I don't want to gloss over that. That is just a bummer sometimes. But what has helped was to think, you know, in what ways is the slowness also a gift and also allowing me to see things differently and to reconsider some things, some values, some habits, and what do I have to share from that place? But you might have a totally different question. So my invitation here is just to see if you want to take a question into winter time as well. And the other thing I'm setting up for myself as a spiritual home for winter is my making practice, and specifically slow stitching. I've received a small stack of kind of leftover velvet scraps, and I'm making little cherry stone pillows with them at the moment, and I'm embroidering them for different people as little gifts, and that is what I kind of will do as my main making practice this winter. I'm also trying to weave my dreams into that. So a few weeks ago, for example, I had a dream where I'd fallen asleep quite sad. I had just checked the news again, which I'm doing, that's my dog Ernie, which I'm doing way too often at the moment. And in my dream, I met someone who said, everything can be undone, everything can be remade. Oh, I will say this again, everything can be undone, everything can be remade. And that felt like such a kindness and blessing and like such a good response to me falling asleep and being like, oh my God, we have gone so far down the wrong path. How will this ever be okay? To remember that everything can be undone and remade. And so, yeah, I'm thinking about how I'm going to bring that into my making practice. I have embroidered that. I might make a lino print from it. I'm not sure yet, but I really want to kind of value my dreams and bring them into my creative work. I also love about stitching just kind of this feeling of keeping my hands busy without it being too overwhelming. I like having candle time. I'm working with recycled materials and making gifts. And I think all of those things together kind of reflect where I see myself at this point in time, which is still processing a lot of the pandemic, trying to integrate, trying to not to hasten the process of kind of going back to some kind of normal, but to really see what I've learned, where am I going next, what's important to me right now. And then the other part of my spiritual home for winter is exploring Quaker meetings. I've only started this week. It's been something that I was curious about for a few years. I really enjoyed the meetings I went to this week. So I'm not an expert at all. Like I said, I'm only just starting out. But in brief, I would say the idea is the online, or the ones that I'm attending are online, which makes them accessible to me. I would love to go in person, but that's not on the cards right now. And the idea is to meet with a circle of friends. So that's what people call each other in Quaker meetings, friends. And to sit together in silence for 30 to 60 minutes. And everyone is invited to give what they call ministry if they feel moved and they feel like they have, you know, something that has come to them from whatever source they see that to come from with the group. And I love this real emphasis on equality and respect and the idea that everyone has their own relationship to the divine. Everyone can speak to that and everyone has something of value to bring. I also really appreciate the focus on justice and repair in the world. And to think about what one's own contribution towards peace is, which obviously is a really big and important topic right now. I'm not sure if Quakerism is my long-term path, but it feels good for this winter to just kind of take that with me as another question, basically, and to really bring an open heart to those meetings, to see how many I feel like attending, to take note, to witness, and then to see if that's maybe something I want to commit to in the long term. I have so much to learn about Quaker history. It's a movement that in the 17th century came out of Christianity, and that gives me, to be totally honest, a real sense of hesitation. Being a queer person, knowing the role that the Christian church has played within colonialism, patriarchy, capitalism. But I'm also noticing real differences, very obvious differences in approach. And I'm also wondering, okay, this is could be a long waffle, but I'm going to try to be succinct, and then I will speak more to that at the end of the winter when I have actually gathered some thoughts and experiences. But I know in myself that I've always had a spiritual yearning in a way. I remember when I was 11, for example, for my birthday, I asked to not have a party, but to be given a little bit of money for books instead. And I went to the self-help spiritual section in the bookshop and I bought a book on witchcraft, which I still have. It's a really hilarious book. But all this to say, I also, remember making altars when I was a toddler, and that was just always important to me, but I was never part of a religious tradition within my family. And there were many moments growing up when I really wish I was. And then I also know that in my 20s, I sought kind of spiritual grounding and nourishment and ritual outside of my own culture, for example, by training as a yoga teacher or by joining group Buddhist meditations in Brighton. And I think there are ways of doing that very respectfully and in a way that's really honoring history and tradition and cultural context, as well as the repair that needs to be done. But I know also that I wasn't always doing a really good job kind of doing those things with integrity, I would say. And so with Quakers now, there's part of me that wonders, there is uncomfortable history there. I know that I identify with the values that Quakers as an organization in the UK currently holds. And so I feel really curious if I could be part of that. And I also wonder if really working through in a reparative way the more difficult history of Quakerism engaging with that, understanding it, seeing what part I have, what part my ancestors have had, could be a really positive thing for me. I will leave it here. I know that is a waffle, but this is what I'm currently thinking. I am also, one more thing I want to say to that, actually. Let me just shuffle my leg around. Oh God, I'm feeling very old today. I'm really noticing as I'm going into winter that I'm really yearning to practice in community again. And for me, that has taken many different shapes and forms over the years. I facilitated community myself in the first few years of lockdown. For example, I offered monthly queer spirit sessions, which I really enjoyed doing. I was part of a coven as part of my friendship group when I was a bit younger. And I joined all kinds of other meetings online and offline. And where I'm at with that at the moment is that I love facilitating, but I also, need to join other spaces sometimes and just really step out of that role and replenish my own well. That's one part. And the other part is that I have left Instagram a few years ago for my work, but I've had a private Instagram account that I more recently deleted, and I'm really glad I did. And I think that this process of untangling myself from social media culture is ongoing and really important to me to reclaim my attention span and to think about what kind of media forms I'm consuming. And I'm also noticing that every time I have this kind of desire to be part of spiritual community flares up for me, I often turn to Instagram and I'm like, well, what is this person doing? Or like, what group program can I join? And I'm not against group programs at all. I have facilitated them. I will facilitate them again. I think it's really great when people have a gift to share and they want to explore that together with other people. And I, you know, certainly will support that and I might offer that again myself. But for me right now, when I think about ongoing practice that's really for myself, there's a taste of consumerism in that seeking when I turn to Instagram for those things and I join group programs that I don't want to do anymore. Yeah, I think also that maybe isn't a fully formed thought yet. But I'm just kind of, you know, noticing how I'm prioritizing people and ideas and how that's tied to follower count or things like social capital someone has or how charismatic they might be. And do I want to join like a 6-week group program when actually I think I need like long-term committed spiritual practice? Does that make sense, my friends? I don't know. I think there's definitely a space for both these things, right? Like sometimes I want to join a short-term program to encounter a specific idea or practice or to be shown something that I haven't seen myself yet. But that is not the same thing really as what I'm seeking right now. And so I'm just being curious here about how these two things can coexist basically. Another way I'm making a spiritual home for winter is really to think about my home space again. I shared a whole episode about embodying a creative home that you can revisit if you want. But like I said, I'm decluttering at the moment. I'm refreshing the paint in my hallway. I'm really nesting down. I've deep cleaned my kitchen. I think to me that the cleaning before going into winter is actually much more important than spring cleaning because, yeah, this is where I'm going to spend most of my time in the coming month. It needs to be warm and cozy and it needs to really hold me. So maybe that is something that you want to think about as well. And then I'm thinking about my tools and what I want to really utilize this winter. And I can say that I want to work with my cards. I want to really be with my journal. I want to light candles and I want to do stitching. So those four things and everything else can really, you know, be recycled, decluttered, given away, or just kind of step into the background for a moment so that I can focus on the things that matter to me. I'm also always recreating a reading list or like reorganizing my bookshelf as the season changed. I want the things that I might want to reference or, you know, have really easy access to be right in the middle on eye side, eye level. That feels important to me. And it's really fun once a season to pull everything out and then see kind of how things come back together. Yeah, I enjoy that too. And then finally, I'm thinking about boundaries for the holidays. I talked about that in the other business related episode. And I've decided, for example, this year not to go home for actual Christmas, but to go at the beginning of December, which is easier for travel, it's cheaper, it's quieter. It feels still really intentional to spend time with my family, but that also means that I get to spend the winter solstice at home by myself in like small circles, doing rituals that feel meaningful to me and celebrate that time as a real, you know, time to slow down rather than speed up and travel. And I'm excited for that. And that's part of my spiritual home too. All right, this was a real waffle. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that maybe hearing my reflections sparked some of your own reflections as well. I really do hope so. And I would love to hear what you think. And the invitation just again is there to join my Substack if you like. I'll announce anything that I'm offering this winter there. And yeah, thank you so much again for listening.